Blog Talk Radio.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Well, welcome to the Pit Radio News here. And right now we're having some technical problems. Anyway, I'm waiting for the host to call in, and he's been having some trouble getting in the studio right now. And right now I'm multitasking. So we'll just see if it's... Oh, he's on now. I'll take him off mute and see if I can get him to... Glenn, are you there?
Yes, I am. I finally got into the studio.
We got you. I was just I introduced the show here, and I was just letting the audience know we had some technical problems, but we got it. I hope we got it remedied now, and we'll let you take it from here, my friend.
All right. Thank you very much, Jess. And
you bet.
We're sorry about that, folks, but you know this is live radio, and you know anything can happen, and. Well, at least we know where we're on. That's the main thing. But welcome, America, and thank you for joining us here on the Pit Radio News. The Pit stands for the politically inconvenient truth, or even the politically incorrect truth. Matter of fact, it could be that way too. Either way, we just want to spread the good news of truth. And Yah, our Elohim, our God, is amazing and blessed us with this show. And bless us with your listening to us. We're worldwide here on Blog Talk Radio. So thank you for joining us and whatnot. let's get right into it here. How are things with you there, my friend Gary, up in North Dakota?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. It's a little bit warmer days. I mean, it's still well, about two above, but still it's better than 35 below. But it's, you know, it's still kind of cold. But other than that, I'm doing well. Everything's going smooth. Right now, I can't complain. I guess everything's going good. If we have a lot of snow on the ground right now, and you need sunglasses now. You know what it's like when you lived up in Canada, my friend. When that sun is out and that snow is white, I said, it's bright. It's hard on the eyes. But anyway, I guess that's about what's happening here. Other than that, in the news, it's kind of slow. There's people talking about this Green New Deal, which is really a communist deal that Alexandria Cortez introduced up in the Bronx in New York. That's pure socialism, which will lead to communism, because it's completely anti-capitalist, anti-free market. And what's really dangerous about that is they want to even rectify every home or every building in America, which is millions and millions of buildings. And where's the money going to come from? I mean, people don't have that type of money to do it themselves. So you're going to have a lot of homeless people. There's going to be a lot of empty shelves on the grocery store and in the regular stores. There's going to be people starving to death. That's what socialism leads to. And it's something that we should be very alarmed about, because they're pushing this full steam ahead. I think the Democrat Party has gotten so desperate because they've been losing. They want to get this put in place so they can control every aspect of our lives. And it's a scary thing that's going on here, because what about people that live out in the country and stuff? What are you going to do about them? They want to ban cars and stuff. Have electric cars. Well, we know that don't work very well. And have rail. They want to get rid of airplanes. You can't fly. Anything that uses fuel, I mean, if your home uses natural gas or propane to heat, excuse me, they want to get rid of that. What are you going to use? A sun? I mean, at night it gets dark and it's going to get cold in your house. You aren't going to have heat that's going to work. And, well, put it this way, if they make batteries, look at the look how much those batteries create. If you want to talk about pollution and stuff, those batteries have a lot of material in them that's very corrosive and dangerous to the environment. I don't mind using propane. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, God created this earth, and he made these resources here for our use. We're not abusing it, we're using it, And he made them for us to use, And I understand, we don't want smog in the cities. I understand that. But there's only so far they can go. And they're getting to the point now that they're legislating stuff. They're trying to legislate stuff. I'm going to say they haven't gotten it complete yet. So they're trying to put this in place that would really destroy our country. It would turn our country into a place that everybody would want to leave. They'll be putting the wall up to keep people in, because people will be wanting to leave if they get this policy in place. This is a scary thing. Even people that don't want to work, they're going to pay them too a livable wage. And they claim it wasn't in there, but it was in the original thing. Now, of course, that'll be put in the next time. I know how these people work. I mean, their goal is to destroy this country. That's what the Democrat goal is. And there's probably a few Republicans on board. And you know what they'll do? They'll exempt themselves from it. They always do. They did with the healthcare thing. They'll do that with this too, because they'll call themselves better people. The arrogant people will always exempt themselves from something that everybody else has to do. They claim that they want freedom. Well, that ain't freedom, my friend. That is pure force, and you'll have government in control of every aspect of your life, every aspect. So I'll turn this back to you, my friend. We should be angry about this. We should be, because this is evil, downright evil. So I'll just turn this back over to you, and I'll let you have your thoughts on it.
Yes, we have some a lot of catastrophes happening with this government, and trying to block the president from doing what is the right thing. And this has been going on for decades and decades, and of course the Revelation, which is the whole Bible, shows us that this is what's going to happen with this world and whatnot. And yes, my friend, and we do have a lot of evil in the world, and within the governments and whatever have you, and we just have to stand fast, stand firm, and just basically do a lot of praying and believing that Yah, you know, our God will actually turn some basically turn some hearts, you know, and make them a softer, a flesh heart, so they can actually do His will and not the will of their own. And fortunately, we have these elitists, these Democrats and liberals and whatever have you. They just want to serve their own purpose, and they're their own God and whatnot, and they don't want to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear of what our God has for us and wants us to have for to glorify Him. You know, they just want to glorify themselves. It's all about me with them and as individual, but it's a group thing. They want to have power within a large group, you know, and have. And therefore, they can basically control what you hear, what you see, and whatnot. Well, that's not biblical. That's not exactly what we're here for. We're here to be a witness, to tell the truth, to plant seeds of the truth, and help, and to do things that are right by God. But you know, there's a lot of things going on here with a lot of these promises that these new Congress. Men and women and whatever have you are trying to push for their own agenda. You know, you've mentioned a few of them with, you know, yeah, everybody's going to work. Everybody that doesn't want to work, we're going to just pay them, you know. And, I mean, you know, we've said this many times, my friend, that, you know, if it comes down to if you give a man a fish, he'll eat today. And that's what they want. They want you to keep giving every day. But we believe, because this is what Yah, our God, has told us, that if you teach a man how to fish, he'll eat every day. In other words, he's dependent on Yah and his own abilities. So in other words, we have faith with works, because with faith without works is dead. If we have no works, and you have all the faith in the world you want, but you know you have to believe and trust in Yah, and you have to do some works of your obedience. And not be lazy, not be slothful. And this is what they are. They're a lazy, lazy regime is what they are, a lazy government of elitists and you know, the Democrats and liberals and whatever. If they would just put that energy that you're using to have their own agendas and do about their own business and whatnot and just base control, if they put even half that energy into doing the right thing, we would have 40 times more than we have right now or more. I mean, it's just incredible. But when you're a selfish person and being in a selfish group, you're going to do things that the enemy he wants to rule the world. He wants to do everything and take everybody with him to hell. And this is what they're doing. And some of these people that are following them, they're the sheeple. You know, there's the sheep to the slaughter. They don't realize that this is what they're actually following. And there's some people that really, truly know what they're doing, because they don't have no belief in the enemy. They have no belief in Yah. And the thing is if you believe in Yah, our God, then you have to believe the enemy is there. But see, they must not believe in either one, because when you have one, you have both. Because this is why we're here to choose. We have that choice. So having said that, you know, we're in a mess, but we're the messengers. We're here to help clean up that mess by spreading the truth, the politically inconvenient truth, here on the Pit Radio News. I am Glenn Atkinson, your host here in Texas, and my great friend up there in North Dakota, Gary Rumor. We are here for you people. You can also call in at 646-787-8534. Again, that's 646-787-8534. Just press 1 if you have a comment or a question. We'll get you on here. We are a holy show. We do not have any profanities. We want to debate. We welcome you to come in and you know, and if you have any issues of you know, you don't agree with us or you want to debate something, by all means, that's what we're here for. We're here to hear both sides of everything, so we can basically maybe have other people understand the truth lies with the truth, of course. And this is what we're trying to do, is spread the truth, the good news, and just have everything the way it's aligned and supposed to be aligned in Yah, in our God's word. You know, we just have to do that. So please join us here, and I'm going to hand this over to you, Gary, for a minute. I'm going to call back in on the host line in order to be able to work some things out here. And if you can,
well, I've,
from that.
I tell you what, it's working good now, my friend. I don't know if you'll get back in or not. We've been having technical problems, of course, and the only thing I could tell you is it's, since it's working, I'd probably just stay on this line. It's coming through. It's coming through loud and clear, and the people in the audience will hear it just the same way. So, you know,
yeah, but
I
was,
can, if, oh, okay. You can try it, I guess, if you want.
There's some things, excuse me, there's some things here that I can't control, like the end of the show, the actual, the ending of the show and whatever have you on here as far
mm-hmm.
as the doing the, you know, the hard work, Paul, different things.
Yep.
I won't be able to control it.
Yeah, I can. So I'm in the studio now, and I can do that if you want this time. You can call in on the host line. If you got on the studio, go ahead. But like I said, I can close it. I can end the episode when we're done. So I can do that too. So if you want, I mean, it's up to you. You're the boss, so I'll let you take it. I'm just giving you some advice. But anyway. I'll talk about this too, and there's another issue that I think we need to bring up too.
Okay,
and this is. Go. What's that now?
Okay, I'll just do what I was gonna do, and you can just continue to talk, and I'll do this part on my end. Okay, thank you.
Okay, that sounds good. All right. Anyway, there's another issue I want to bring up, and that's this abortion issue, and there's a. Couple of states, I think in Virginia, that one failed, but in New York, they're pushing this abortion, you know, full term, and even after the baby is born, the woman will be able to consult with the doctor if the woman decides she wants to keep the baby or terminate the baby. They can kill the baby after it's born, which is, well, that just kind of shows you what the goal of the pro-choice movement is all about. It has nothing to do with freedom. It's about being able to choose life or death and putting the control into government hands. And that is a very dangerous that's where it happens when you remove God from society. We'll see more and more of this, my friend. I mean, so anyway, I think Glenn hung up. I think he did. He drops. I heard a click anyway. But anyway, that's another goal. And are you still there, Glenn?
I called back in the host line, so everything's fine now. I'm able to.
Oh, okay. Okay. But anyway, I was talking about this late-term abortion law. And I think in Virginia, I think it failed. But still, it's still a bad, bad deal, especially when the woman can make a decision after the baby is born whether to terminate that baby, to kill that baby, or to allow it to live. Because really what's happening, people, that they're turning control of life or death decisions back into the government instead of God. They're taking God out of that now, see. So now it's up to government. Really, when they say the woman's making that decision, eventually it's going to be the government making those decisions. That Terry Schiavo case was the one that actually proved that. It put in control of a judge, somebody who makes life or death decisions. And those things are very dangerous. That's another thing that socialism leads to. But anyway, I'm going to pass this over to you. I got to sneeze. So.
Okay, my brother. Yes, this abortion issue has really gotten out of hand, and you know, we have witnessed the gradual, you know, the people that have said for the last few years, and even actually even going back to the debate with Hillary Clinton and the then candidate Trump, he actually mentioned that they're going to want to have this passed. If they get into government, this is what he was saying about Hillary and the Democrats, liberals, and what have you, the elitists that would actually have the late term. You know, right? He even brought up. You can search it yourself, folks. If you don't remember, check it out, and you'll see on that. I can't recall if it was. I think it was a second debate. I could be wrong, but I think it was the second debate where he brought it up, and he said that late term abortion, you know, right, even to the point where the child would be almost ready to be born, you know, they'll be able to abort this child, and this is what exactly they have put on their agenda in the last couple weeks here. You know, they've got some extreme stuff with that, and but you know, we're getting some we're getting some movement that are pushed back against that, and some movement where some of the states are actually they're not upholding that. They don't want it. They're not going to do it. And so, you know, this is the thing. This is what we knew that could happen if we had the Democrats trying to, in the House, or they took the Senate or whatever have you, or even if they took the presidency. This is what was on their agenda. They were being hush on a lot of the stuff, and now that they've got control of the House, this is what they're doing. They're pushing all these agendas that they want that are so far left. And I believe I mentioned last week that, to me, I look at this as it's all terrible what they want. But I also look at another area of which is really good to have, is that it's a contrast. It's a complete contrast to what Yah, our God, wants us to have, and also what the agenda for the president is, and what he's had right from the get-go. So when you see that there's not much middle ground there with a lot of these candidates that are coming up and coming for to run against Trump, our president, then you will see that a lot of the people out here, there's over 300 million people. And, not everybody will vote. We wish they would. Just the ones that are legal, of course. That's a whole new different issue. They don't want all that. They don't want all this way far left stuff. So, to me, it's actually a good thing for our president, because he can pick apart that no problem. He can really pick apart that. But he needs our help. He needs the help from the grassroots up, from everybody voting. Because, you see, what happened the last election is not enough people voted, as far as I'm concerned. Not enough people voted, and they didn't vote. A lot of people said they, would back up Trump and what have you, but they were leaving it alone. They weren't even voting. So, therefore, not voting is like giving a vote to a Democrat in a lot of ways, because if you want to support this president and his agenda, then you got to vote. You got to vote. If you're legal, you got to vote and make those steps to be legal, to be able to vote, to be a citizen to vote. I'm not a citizen yet. I'm not a citizen yet, so I cannot vote, and I will not vote. I will not go against the laws and whatnot, because I'm here to help America, not hurt. I don't want any kind of controversy when it comes to doing something that's not of the law. So basically, we got to get out and vote, and this is how it starts, folks, from the grassroots up. And we need to get to vote these people in that will support our God, Yah. We have to do the right thing, and we got to look at His laws. And a lot of people aren't looking at His laws and to see what is really what He wants, what's His desire for us, for our obedience for Him. And then you're going to find that you can actually do the right thing, and it'll all work out well. But you see, you can have all the faith you want, like I said before, and no works is not going to do it. He's just going to leave us, and we're self-destructing, and that's exactly what's happening. But we are having a lot of people wake up. That's why we do have a president. But I think some people went to sleep, and they did not continue to vote like they should have in the last election, last November. So that's a lesson to learn, that we need to wake up again, more and more people, to having see what this elitist Democrat/liberal agenda is, because it's totally against what Yah, our Elohim, wants. It's not going to work, because He has the final say. And the thing is if we're not doing His will, we're not being obedient and doing His will, then we're not gonna end up in a place that we need to end up in, and that's heaven, on the right side of the Father. So you're right, Gary. We really have to make sure that a lot of people, as many people out there, get this message of their agenda, and that abortion is one. I mean, if you look at the platform for anyone that wants anything to do with abortion at all, that is. A very it's a litmus test, for those of you that aren't aware of the litmus, and like in your science lab, you have a little piece of paper, you dip it, and it has turns color, whatever. It's a litmus test to showing what exactly is their agenda for a lot of things. And that is basically controlling of everything. Well, guess what? We're not in control. We have to leave the control for our God, for Yah. And he is totally against any form of abortion. It's to do with, you know, life is at conception. And any part after that, there's something, there is a baby living in you. You know, and that's, so therefore, to go the extreme of even anywhere along that line of the whole 40-week term or whatever it may be, that is a life. No matter when that life is being, it's murdered is what it is. Abortion is murder at any stage of the whole pregnancy. So therefore, we need to have people understand that, you know, those babies, they have feelings. You know, right from conception, there is feelings. It's not an embryo. We don't want to call it an embryo. It's an actual baby. It's a living baby that's growing inside. And so, therefore, we have to understand that this is not a good thing, any type of abortion at any stage. Now, and you know, whether it be rape, whether it be incest, whatever, we have no right to play God, to play Yah. It's not our decision. You know, two wrongs do not ever make it right. You know, a wrong, whether it be incest or rape or whatever, this is the truth. This is a politically inconvenient truth, and it's also biblical truth. So therefore, it's truth. It's real truth. And if anybody would like to call us up at 646-787-8534 and press 1 and share your thoughts about this topic or any other topic that's on the agenda for the liberals, the Democrats, elitists, and whatever have you, that's totally against our God, Yah, then please just join us and let's have a friendly debate, you know, with a peaceful debate, and just share our views on what we believe, not our opinion, it's the truth. So what are your thoughts about that, and if any other thing you'd like to discuss, Gary?
Well, I agree with you. You know, the Democrat Party, it really should go the way of the Whigs. Like I said, they are become actually useless. They're dangerous. I used to call it the party of the KKK, but I changed my mind now. I'm going to call it the cult of death. That's what that party has become, the cult of death. And if you think this gun control thing, it's kind of like, it relates actually to abortion in a way. It will save lives. Actually, will end up destroying lives. It does the opposite of what they tell you it will do. And it's all about freedom, but reckless freedom, we're not, you know, that's not what our founders intended. See, the Democrats are for reckless, dangerous freedoms, like abortion. That's a reckless freedom. It's an immoral freedom. Now, having guns, it doesn't state that you cannot have guns in the Bible. I don't think God cares one way or the other if you own guns. It's what you do with your heart. This is what the liberals don't understand. It's the same thing with, they try to claim, well, God wants you to send money, you know, but the liberals want you to use government and force of a gun against the citizens to make you pay taxes. In other words, you can't sit there and say, no, I don't want to spend this. You know, you can't do that. That's by force of gun, the IRS, force of a gun barrel, pointing at you. Well, God didn't mean that either. Jesus said to do it from the heart, you know, because there should be no punishment on earth. God will punish you in heaven if you don't follow his rules. But on earth, this is why I said we cannot kill people who are homosexual, even though homosexual people are committing an immoral act. What he means is that they will be dealt with by God, not by us. We're not supposed to do that type of judgment. Now, we can disagree and say they're doing something immoral, but we cannot stop them. I can't stop somebody from doing that or anything else. I can't stop somebody from robbing a bank. That's also an immoral act. But we can't stop them, you know. I mean, but God will judge them too, not unless they're completely remorseful of the sin. They repent, yes, they will be forgiven. But only God will know if they're truly honest about that. They can say they're repentful if they're really not. They can say that to get man to forgive them, but God will know if they truly are or not. See, that's where it comes down to. And the problem is this Democrat Party hate God for some reason. They hate him so much because they want to play God themselves. And of course, they're, you know, this Green Deal, we're going back to where they're promising, you know, paradise. And can they deliver paradise? Uh-uh. They can deliver misery. That's what we'll get out of it. And I don't care. They can say democratic socialism. I don't care what they call it. Socialism is socialism. And maybe we should just put a slash evil behind it, because socialism is always evil. You know, and I'm not against people. If somebody can't work, I'm not against people helping them out. I, you know, if people want to donate money, I'm all for that. That's done from the heart again. But if it's done by force, I'm against that, because that's not freedom of choice. Well, that's where I believe in freedom of choice, where you have a right to donate to what you believe, but not money forcefully taken for you, which is theft. I mean, if I went up to somebody, you know, take a gun and go up to somebody and say, give me all your money, and take their money, but yet give the money to people that need it, that's still immoral, because I did it by force. But if I took my own checkbook and, boy, I like this group is helping, so I donate money to this group to help them out, that's a noble act. That's a great act. And that's basically, that's not nuts and bolts of it all. You know, it's basically what it's about. It's not about force by government. This is what the liberals, well, I think they know better, but I think they do this to try to manipulate people or try to get people to vote for them. Well, we're getting smarter. I think people are waking up to what's really going on with the Democrat Party. It's all about power and control. And, of course, they have to destroy a society to control a society. And, like I said, this Green New Deal, abortions, all this is going to destroy a society. Gun control, because gun control, they aren't doing it to prevent crime or for safety or any other reason. They're doing it so we can't defend ourselves in case you get some out-of-control government deciding they're going to run over you. So you have some means of defending yourself. And by the way, if you read the Bible, self-defense is fine. You know, if you have to take a life in self-defense, you don't want to. Nobody says we want to or we should be gung-ho, go out there and shoot people. But if you have no choice, yes, then it's fine. Read the Bible. It says it right there. Even war is fine, because you can't. There's always going to be evil in this world. God knew that right away. So we have some means to fight it. See, we don't sit there and roll over. The liberal wants to roll over to our enemy. Oh, just give them what they want and we'll have peace. You really never will have real peace. Oh, I love peace. I wish we had world peace. I'd say, hey, I agree. I wish we had world peace. I know you agree with me too, my friend. I wish we had world peace. But there's people out there, evil people out there, do not want it. And if we sit there and give in to them, you won't have peace. You have total chaos and control and devastation. And if you want misery, that'll be misery and fear. Also fear, because you'll be scared to do anything for fearing that the government might shoot you. You know, because you go to other countries, what we're doing in other countries, we probably would be shot. You know, they don't tolerate any type of dissent. Do you want to live that way, people? I don't want to live that way. I love my freedom. And real freedom is mean, hey, if we don't like something, we can go to the politician and say, we don't like what you're doing, and we're going to vote. And that's fine. You can tell them. You can tell the president that. We don't like what you're doing. We're going to vote you out. We're going to make sure you're not elected the next time. That's fine. The only thing you can't do is, of course, threaten to assassinate. And I agree, we shouldn't be out there threatening to assassinate anyone, because a person should be able to live without fear of being killed or hurt. And I agree with that. We should not live that way, you know. But like I said, but we can threaten to vote them out. We can do that. We can vote the way we want. That's where our founders set up this wonderful system. Although not perfect, it was based on the Bible, by the way, too. If you look at our Bill of Rights, based on the Bible, all these amendments, our right to free speech, and that meant political speech. It doesn't mean to protect Hugh Hefner and Playboy so people can look at nude pictures. That isn't what the First Amendment was all about. I hear liberals saying, oh, it's to protect pornography, and it doesn't meant to protect that. I don't think they weren't even thinking of that when they wrote in the First Amendment. They were thinking of political speech, the way of our life, if we don't like something. And another thing it protects, people don't realize this too, what if one of us comes up with a great idea? You know, maybe some idea that might be implemented by government. It might be a great 99% of them probably are poor ideas, but someone might come up with a great idea nobody else thought of. And that's what free speech also protects. So we can come up with an idea, say some invention or something, or some agenda that might be a great idea. And we can come up and present it to our leaders and, you know, see if we can get it, work on it to get it implemented sometime in the future. See, that's what the First Amendment's about. He gave God, these are God-given rights, by the way. Government does not give you any rights. All the government does is take them away. And that should make anybody angry. Everybody should be angry at that. That's what freedom means. We have the right. We run this country, and we get these people who are void of God now running. A lot of them are void of God. A lot of them are running void of God, and they're running this country in the ditch is what they're doing. They're going to run it into a, let's just say, a snowbank and get it stuck where we can't get out of it. And that's what they're trying to do. And I know they know better than this. So, I mean, that's going to make it even worse when someday they'll die and they aren't going to go to heaven. They'll be punished even probably worse because they're doing this intentionally. Their intentions aren't good. When you got somebody just drunk with power to power and want to control people and they're just willing to do anything to save their own hides, I mean, that just shows how evil they are. I mean, our country means nothing to the party of the cult of death, and that's what I'm going to call the Democrat Party because they are the cult of death. They don't believe in right to life. In fact, they make fun of it. There's no right to life in the Constitution. I said, no, but it's in the Declaration of Independence. Read the very first sentence. You know, we have endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, which is life. Life is the first one. Then liberty, which is freedom, and the pursuit of happiness, which means we can pursue our happiness, do what we love to do in our life, and that's what happiness is about. Get married, have family, and be truly blessed by God, which is happiness. So I'll turn this back to you, my friend. I gave you a lot to chew on here, so I'll just turn this back to you.
Oh, yes. And, you know, you mentioned one thing. You mentioned about repentance and whatever have you, and you know, if that's the way you can tell somebody's repented, it's pretty simple. Are they repeating it? That's Yah's way of deciding whether we are obedient or not. If we do something that's wrong, like you mentioned about, you know, if somebody murders or does something or anything, if you broke one sin, you broke them all. That's biblical, folks. So basically, you know, if you repent, you know, your fruits will be known. So you'll know. Everybody else around you will know. But most important is Yah, our God, will know if you're repenting. And sometimes we have a problem with that. You know, sometimes we're trying to repent, and we're repenting, and then we repeat it. It's because, folks, you know, we have to have that set apart Holy Spirit inside of us. And how you get that to be able to repent and not repeat it is if you're in the Word, reading the Bible, or in the Word's in you, and therefore the Word's in you, the actual set-apart Holy Spirit's in you, and you will not repeat it. Period. That's just how it works. You cannot, a lot of people think once saved, always saved, then they go to, they try and repent, and they're not repenting. They're not fooling anybody but themselves. So basically, that's how it works. If you want to repent, then you best be in the Word daily, you know, because if people believe once saved, always saved, then they believe that Yeshua came for nothing. I mean, and you're not. We got to always be being filled of that Holy Spirit inside of us in order to repent or whatnot, or to do the right things of Yah. We cannot, because that's our shield of armor, you know, that actually protects us from the enemy and all the stuff that he has to offer. Because if we don't get right with Yah, with our God, and have that Holy Spirit inside of us, you know, then we're not going to be able to repent and not repeat what we've done that's wrong. You know, that God, Yah, he loves a broken heart. So if we're crying out to him and we're saying, you know, we're wrong for this, we're sorry, We make that connection with him. That's the Holy Spirit. That's a connection that's alive and well and within us. Then we have the chance to not repeat it. But there's a lot of people out there that want to follow religion, but he didn't say that. He didn't say follow Judaism or follow Buddha or follow Christianity. He said follow me. Follow me. I came here on this earth to actually show you how to, and as an example, to do what my Father sent me, which was already written, which is the Torah, the law, the Old Testament. A lot of people think the Old Testament was abolished you know, when the New Testament was out there. See, it hasn't been. He came to fulfill that. So everything you see in the New Testament always reverts back to the Old Testament. You ever notice that, folks? Therefore, why would they do that? Because they had to send somebody. They weren't cutting it. Israel was divorced, and so they wouldn't repent because they didn't know what to do. They had no idea. They didn't care is what it was because they did not. So therefore, God had to bring his own son to show how to be an example to how to do it, and you follow him. He didn't say follow all this religion. Religion is only going to actually cause you to not repent because they think you've fallen from grace. And they say, oh, you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to be obedient. You don't have to do nothing. Once saved, always saved. Well, that's why the world's the way it is, because people don't have the Hebrew roots of Bible to understand what exactly that is. That's why you get all these different doctrines out there, all these different Bibles. Like, I don't know, gosh, it's just, they even have one for homosexuals, for gays, they call it. I call it homosexuality. But they have one for that even now. I mean, sorry, but there's only one Yah, and there's only one God, and there's only one Yeshua that he brought here. And he was Hebrew. He wasn't Christian. He wasn't Roman. So he wasn't Catholic. We don't have to have these Roman holidays and pagan holidays, what they are. He's not going to, when he appears, he's going to appear in Yerushalayim, which is Jerusalem. And he's not going to appear in Rome. So therefore, why are we following all these Roman holidays and paganism is what it is. And how does someone expect to repent when they're confused about everything? They got a bad root. They're rooted in the religious churches. So when you talk about repentance, we have to get back to the Hebrew and that's where it comes from, the Hebrew, not the Greek, the Hebrew. You know, so the Hebrew Bible there's a word called the Torah, and the Torah is the laws, which is the first five books of Moses. And therefore, if we want to repent, we really want to repent, and we really want to see if someone's repented, then we get back to their Hebrew roots and follow, be obedient to Yah, and also have that set apart spirit. It's both. It's not just one. There is no just I was saved 6 years ago, so therefore I'm saved always. No, we got to be continuing to be obedient. Because if that was the case, there would be no need. Would have been no need for Yeshua, as called Jesus. You know, he would have been no need for him to come here to show us how to cut it. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me, of that. You know, we can't be just allowing ourselves to do whatever we want. Oh yeah, I know Jesus or I know Yeshua. Well, you don't know him if you don't have an intimate relationship with him. So it's not about religion. It's about relationship. Yeah, they both start with R-E-L. One ends terrible. Religion ends terribly. The other one ends with eternal. You live eternal. I choose living eternal. So therefore, repentance comes a lot easier, and you're not having a guilt doctrine either. You know, you don't have to feel guilty. But if you repented and you don't repeat it, no one can, and either Yah won't even bring it up to you again. He throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. So when we talk about actually having repentance and making sure the signs are there. I've repeated them, certain things, whatever that I shouldn't be doing, because guess what? I have work to do too. I have to be being filled. I'm no better than anyone else when it comes to that. I just know that God is no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of what we do, and that's obedience. If we reach Him and we say, what's our defense? Our defense was, well, I just followed you. When we have judgment day, if we say to him, well, I just followed you, or I just did what your laws were, I was obedient, you think he's going to say, oh, well, I never knew you? No, he's going to say, very well done, grateful, you know, I'm a servant. I mean, awesome. So therefore, people have to understand that we're held accountable for everything we do that's good and everything that we do that's not so good. If we know we're doing something that's not good, we will know it if we're in the Word and the Word's in us. And then we can repent, and then we will be able to be forgiven, because that's the reason why Yeshua, Jesus, came to us on this earth, is because he died for our sins. But that doesn't mean that once saved, always saved. It just means that we still have to be obedient, and then when we're not, we have to repent and we have to be corrected. Because like our dad, or you know, when we were younger, if we did something wrong, you know, he gave us, you know, the licking, you know, whether it be a belt or a slap or whatever have you on the butt or whatever have you to correct us. Don't think that our God, Yah, isn't any different, because he will correct us. But there's comes a time, too, where, you know, you have to understand that if you're going to keep turning away and you know the truth and you keep turning away from that truth, he's going to give up on you. And guess where you end up? Where religion is going, and that is to hell. You're not going to have an eternal life because you're following religion, not following him. So the repentance is a very, very, very deep-rooted, very serious thing that a lot of churches are not showing anything at all. They're not even bringing that up. Because you know why they're doing that? In a lot of ways, it's because that don't fill their pews. You see, they need money to spread their false doctrines. And that's why there's all these different Bibles out there and all these different things, because a lot of it's been, every one of them has been, you know, this religion stuff has all been twisted by the enemy. He's here because he wants to take the throne, and he ain't going to get it. Jesus, Yeshua, said on the tree, he said, it is finished. You know, he's not getting it. So therefore, who do we want to serve? Do we want to serve the enemy, or do we want to serve Yah? Well, our God, we have to. If not, then you haven't repented. You haven't seen the error of your ways. And believe me, every knee shall bow. And repentance is much required right now. And, you know, I wanted to let you know also, folks and Gary, that pastor from my church, senior pastor, you've seen a couple of videos that we've placed on our Facebook there, there, Gary. We have a pastor named Pastor Gary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Gary Stevens. Yeah, Gary Stevens, mm-hmm. Simon, sorry. He's going to be a guest on our show. I'm not sure exactly when. I talked with him yesterday at church, and this man has got a history, a story for everyone, and his transformations of you know, from his youth to where he is now. And, you know, he's been a pastor for over 30 years now. And he's been on, he's been around the world with many different countries. He's been on TV. He's been on radio. You know, he's done it. He's seen it, done it all, so to speak. And I'll tell you, he's going to be an amazing guest, because he's going to show you, you know, humbly show you his transformation. He's going to tell you about his transformation in churches and what they're all about and whatever have you, and how our God Yah has blessed blessed him with that Holy Spirit to know the difference and how repentance actually works. And I'm just excited to have him. I'm going to find out exactly when, you know, probably within the next 2 or 3 weeks or so. But he's going to let me know this week. You know, I emailed him, of course, you know, and everything have you. So it'll be great. It'll be great to have someone on there that has is going to tell you the truth. And as Gary and I are here, you know, the politically inconvenient truth, that's the Pit Radio News. This is what we're here for. So we want to basically, you know, we want to welcome you guys to when, you know, next week I'll be able to, you know, advertise when he's going to be on and be able to tell you, you know, when you can call in and whatnot for the guests and whatever. And I'm excited to have him on. And I know that it's a blessing to have him on. So we're here to bless you all with the truth, because we have a government out there, as you're saying, Gary, that, you know, the Congress and whatever is so hard to to get moved into doing the right thing. But you know, our prayers and everything out there for them, you know, believing, you know, we can pray all we want, but if we don't believe in those prayers, then it's just going to fall on deaf ears, because you got to have trust and belief in with that faith in order for our God, for Yah to be hearing us, and to and then we have to have our works. We have to, you know, what we're doing here on the radio as one show. You know, we have the right radio show to get to people. There's other TV shows, other radio shows with Rush Limbaugh and Mark Levin, and there's a whole bunch of different radio shows and different TV shows out there, like on a lot of them on Fox News. You know, with Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Hannity Show, Laura Ingraham. You know, there's a whole bunch of them on there that will actually show people the truth. They'll expose the truth. And this is what we're here to do. And this is what I'm bringing Pastor Gary on to share some real biblical Hebrew truth. Okay, we're getting back to the roots of the Hebrew and just get it out there. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's like a weed, folks. If you have weed among your grass, if you just keep cutting it, it's going to keep growing. Now, if we get to the root of the problem, we can have the actual solution. And this is what Pastor Gary is going to bring to us on the show. And so I'm excited to have that. And I'm sure you guys will be once you hear what he has to say, and nothing but the truth. He has no opinions. He doesn't have an opinion. He just takes everything and reverts it back to Scripture. And that's what it's supposed to be. You can never, ever, ever, ever get into trouble if the Scripture backs up what you're saying. You can use it in your own words, just do not take it out of context. I mean, don't add to it or take from it away from it. If you can, everything you say has to be lined and backed up with the Bible, the real Bible, you know, the Hebrew. If you can do that, people will say and do whatever they can do, but you know what? Stand fast, stand firm, because that is the truth, and nothing outweighs the truth. And that's what we're here to do, and so it'll be exciting to have him on. So I wanted to share that with you, that I don't have a date exactly, but I'm thinking it's in the next 2 to 3 weeks in that area. So we'll look forward to that. So here we are. It's 1:51 p.m., and we're getting close to the top of the hour here. And I want to thank everybody for joining us. And we got a few more minutes left. And is there any other topic you'd like to talk about that we have for the next few minutes before we can close the show?
Well, I think we covered it pretty good, because these are the topics I talked about, probably very important topics, because they're very anti-God. And one thing I'm going to say, there's nothing wrong with being angry either. I mean, when they do stuff like this to our country, we should be angry. We should be passionate. And it doesn't hurt to raise our voice a little bit. I think Jesus raised his voice a few times, you know, because, you know, he did too. There's no sin in being angry. It's not, anger is not hate. Liberals always try to confuse you and say, oh, this person's full of hate because the person's angry. That doesn't mean you're full of hate. You're angry at them because they're defying our country, or defying God is what they're really doing, because our country is based on God. You know, the founders believed in God, and that was based on Christian principles, or God's principles. And they're going... They're moving to Satan's principles is what they're doing. They're promising stuff that they can't deliver, and that's basically my closing remark. But that's the thing: we should be angry, and like I said, probably pray for them too. I agree. We need to pray for them. But if they're doing something illegal, they should be held accountable to the laws that they pass. So anyway, I'll let you close it up and let you have your final statements and close it up. So thanks a lot, Glenn, and again, thank you for being a friend. That's a wonderful gift, too, is friendship. So anyway, we'll let you finish out, my friend.
Amen, and thank you for being a friend, too, and you know, and a brother with our God, Yah. You know, we're striving to do the best and everything we can do with Yah. And, you know, if we point out that, to be angry, it's not a sin. And it's amazing how you say that, because in a Bible, the Bible shows you can be angry but sin not. So in other words, you know, it basically is, you know, like you're right, you know, Yeshua, Jesus, they call Jesus, he upset it, they went into the churches, you know, and he upset the tables, whatever, he said, this is a den of thieves. He was angry. He was mad. But he was in control. It was controlled anger. In other words, there's no sin. So in other words, he was controlled, because that's how the Father can get angry at us. The Father, he can. And you know what, Yeshua is perfect. And you know what, people that claim that they can't be, they can't do what he does, well, they can. He wouldn't have come here to show us if we couldn't cut it. He came in the flesh to show that we could do it. So yes, but he did not sin at all, because he's showing us that we don't have to sin either. We don't have to. He came here to actually die for our sins, but we can be angry. And a lot of people will twist that around like the enemy does. And he'll twist it around, and he'll say, you know, oh, well, then they're haters. Like you said, Gary, they're haters. No, it's not that we hate. It's we have a passion for doing the right thing. It comes out, and we can be angry. And that doesn't mean we have to cuss and swear and profanity and murder or beat up somebody or whatever have you. We do things as anger in self-defense. And that means we do that in self-defense with our words to show them. Okay. At the same time, there's a certain point where it does get to that. It can be an individual thing, an issue could be getting to that point. But he does want us to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove also. And there is sometimes where, you know, you might have seen where if someone's angry all the time, you don't really hear them. You know, you just, it's like, ah, it just kind of falls on deaf ears. Like, ah, yeah, they're doing the same thing. But if you ever notice that when Jesus did that, when Yeshua did that, he did it. Not a lot, but he did it because he was firm and fair, and he was telling the truth, and he was angry, he wasn't sinning. So there is a time and a place for that. But it doesn't mean it's all the time, because if you're doing it all the time, people aren't going to listen. So you have to be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, and there's the right timing to do that. And same with Yah, with our God. He will discipline us, and we will feel it. We will feel it, and that's his anger, because he's saying, hey, wait a minute. Stop. That's enough. And that's what we do. We be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. And yes, we can have some anger with that as far as controlled anger. I could be wrong about that. I believe that that's what the word shows us. But that's what I believe. And it's not my opinion. This is just something that I've read. I've seen it and whatever have you. And it's the truth. So when I say I could be wrong with that, well, if I'm ever wrong, I'm open to being corrected by that, by Yah, because I don't want to make the same mistakes, and that's what repentance is all about. So having said that, thank you all very much for joining us here on the Pit Radio News. You can always call us any day that we're on, Sundays, Central Standard Time, 1 p.m., 646-787-8534. We go 1 till 2 p.m. or sometimes 1 till 3, depending on the guest and if we have a guest on or whatever and time restrictions, whatever. I'm pretty sure Pastor Gary might want to be on for an hour or more, so we'll be prepared for that, because I know he has amazing history and what he has to offer with his knowledge of Yah. So having said that, we'll close the show. We want to thank you, America, for joining us. Yah bless. God bless you all. And Yah bless, and God bless you too, Gary, and your family. Thank you once again for joining us here on the Radio News.
God bless.
Thank you.
God bless you and your family too, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. And we always close the show with, as we know, faith without works is dead. It's all kinds of different works. And faith is believing and trusting in Yah, but works is our obedience. And obedience means that, we got to have some sweat also when we're doing some physical labor. So nothing ever become, a wrong thing by doing some good old hard work. And we don't want to just be given things. We want to be blessed when we are being given things, but we want to earn them. And our hard works is and obedience to Yah is a great, great start and a great end. So we're going to have some Paul Harvey, some hard work, and we end the show with thanking you. God bless America. Thank you very much. Yah bless.
Americans preachers tell me that there is no sermon which is looked forward to with less enthusiasm than a sermon about sin. Well, that's probably true if we're talking about a secular sermon on the subject of hard work. There is no gospel less popular than the gospel of hard work. I could ask you right now to demonstrate your faith in America by handing poison to snakes, and many or most of you would. I could outline a fundamental Christian code of conduct which strictly forbids the use of stimulants or sedatives or the wearing of jewelry, and many would, willingly and without question, accept and be bound by such abstinence. Our leaders could readily rally you to fight and die for your country, as they have many times, and you would even again. But if Paul Harvey or any politician should state that our only chance for survival is to get off our dead centers and get to work, well, I'd be lucky if you'd let me finish. But I'm going to test my luck today. You see, I don't happen to be running for or from anything, and that does make a difference. The pregnant skyline of America was set in place one brick at a time. Now, that represents a lot of calluses. America the Beautiful is not an accomplished fact guaranteed to remain intact. God shed his grace on thee, to be sure, but this was wasteland when God had it to himself. He handed man a hoe and said, you want another Eden? All right, earn it. And all that's necessary for the weeds to take over again is for you and me to lay down that hoe. Now, Americans, the problem is less acute today than it has been. We're on the right track right now. But if we sit down on that track, I'm afraid we're going to get run over. We tell our young people how our country was carved out of the wilderness. No, it wasn't. Our nation was not carved out of the wilderness. Our nation was hammered and hoed and chopped and dug and sawed and clawed out of the wilderness by barehanded men who asked nothing for nothing. America did not start out with an agricultural production that's the awe and envy of the world. It was seeded first by sod-busting farmers who fought Indians and ranchers and cold and heat and drought and bugs and flood and one another. The fruited plain sprang forth from barren acres only after they had been watered with a lot of sweat. I guess what I'm saying is that the more history I study, ours and others, the more certain I am that there is one fertilizer essential to the survival of civilization, and that fertilizer is sweat. And I don't mean perspiration. I mean the kind of steamy, streamy, salty sweat that's wrung from a man by hard physical work. Somehow, the sweat gets into the soil of a farm or a factory or a city or a state or a nation, and everything thereabouts grows tall and strong and tough enough to stand against any storm. But the day the sweat dries up, the soil dries up, and whole civilizations are buried in dust.